Coming to you live from the international headquarters of the Christian Research Institute, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff. Our ministry exists to provide answers to you, to give proof of Jesus Christ as our hope of eternal life, because truth matters. As you hear today's program and you're interested in the topics discussed and you'd like to find out more, contact the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at www.equip.org. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I want to start the broadcast today with a number. That number is 53. Date setting is the bane of modern-day controversialists. And even as I speak, Harold Camping has 53 days left before the date of his prophesied Day of Judgment. His headline is ominous. The end of the world is almost here. Holy God will bring Judgment Day on May 21st, 2011. The Bible, he says, gives the correct and accurate information about that day. Holy God is a God of great mercy, compassion, and love. That is why he has given us in advance of the destruction the exact time of the day of judgment. The Bible tells us in Amos 3:7, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Consequently, we now can know from the Bible the exact time and many details of God's destruction plan that is to come upon the whole world. Now, Harold Camping calculates the date in ingenious fashion. He begins with the premise that Noah's flood began on the 17th day of the second month in the year 4990 BC, and that 7 days before the beginning of the flood, God commanded Noah to warn the peoples of the world that they had 7 days to get into the safety of the ark. He proceeds with the premise that 2 Peter 3:8 teaches that one day is as 1,000 years. Thus, he supposes that the 7 days referred to in Genesis 7:4 can be understood as 7,000 years. He thus concludes that God is showing us by the words of 2 Peter 3:8 that he wants us to know that exactly 7,000 years after he destroyed the world with water in Noah's day, he plans to destroy the entire world forever. Because the year 2011 AD is exactly 7,000 years after 4990 BC, when the flood began, the Bible has given us absolute proof that the year 2011 is the end of the world during the Day of Judgment, which will come on the last day of judgment. In the end, Camping assures his devotees that a remnant of 200 million will be raptured May 21st, 2011. That's 53 days from today. In other words, in 53 days, May 21st, 2011, will come and the rapture will take place. The truth is this. May 21st, 2011 will come and go, and camping's reasoning will once again be exposed for all of its absurdities. Not only does he not know the date of Noah's flood, which gets his calculations off on the wrong foot, but even a cursory reading of 2 Peter 3 is enough to persuade the biblically literate that God does not intend to communicate that a day is equal to 1,000 years. Camping, of course, is not alone in his calculations, as one date, if another, is proven false, new dates crop up like weeds. Following the failure of Camping's May 21st, 2011 date, the next date du jour is set at December 21st, 2012, the end of the Mayan calendar. Just think Jack Van Impe. Now, bring all of this up today in that I just returned from China. And as I returned, getting off the plane, the first thing you encounter in Charlotte, North Carolina, and indeed around the world in the U.S., are billboards. On those billboards, you can read the words, "Save the Day!" exclamation point, in bright red. Return of Christ, May 21st, 2011. Huge letters and numbers on a billboard. And then a picture of a calendar with a pen marking that date as the day that Christ will return. And then the words, "We can know." Well, can we really? The answer is no, we cannot know. And Harold Camping does not know. But ideas have consequences. In America, Christians are buying into the sensationalism and not tending the garden in which God has planted us. Around the world, where I was just 24 hours ago, people are harvesting the fruit that God is preparing. Students are flocking out of universities into the church. Men who run multi-million and even billion-dollar corporations are using their resources for the furtherance of the gospel. PhDs flocking to Jesus Christ. Common people flocking to Jesus Christ. Our tour guide in the Forbidden City came to faith in Christ, and not just as a Lone Ranger Christian, but as someone integrated into the church life. He's not just going to go to church, but he's going to learn what it means to be an authentic New Testament Christian, a reproducing disciple maker, someone feeding on Christ. We have bought into the sensationalists. In China, millions are buying into the Savior, embracing Him as Savior and Lord, and making Him known to the masses. As such, one culture is being revived by the Christian faith, the other is sliding into irrelevance. It doesn't have to be that way, however. You, and I mean you, the person listening to my voice right now, can be a difference maker. But first, you have to get into the Word of God and get the Word of God into you and know how to read the Bible for all it's worth, so you do not fall for the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie. So you do not fall for the Harold Campings and the Jack Van Impies of the world. And yes, I name their names. They ought to be exposed for who they are, false teachers and sensationalists who are robbing the church of its foundation in a biblical worldview. Again, 53 days will come and go, and again, we will see one more date setter exposed for what he is. But in the meantime, people continue to make life decisions based on what he is saying because they're scared. He says, if you don't believe May 21st, 2011, you won't be raptured. And if you are not raptured, you won't be saved. Talk about pressure from a man with a huge platform and a Bible in his hand and a gravelly voice telling people who are so easily led astray that they've got to believe him or they won't be raptured. And not being raptured means not being saved. I suppose if there was ever a need for discernment skills, that need has been underscored in red. Perhaps we should have a billboard that says discernment instead of a billboard that says save the date. And make no mistake about this, ideas have consequences. I've mentioned this on the broadcast because it happened on the broadcast. People calling up, worried about this to such an extent that the word suicide has even come up. It is time for you and I to make a difference, to harvest what God is preparing, to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, with gentleness and with respect. A lot of you hanging on, full board. We'll go right to the phone callers. Try to take as many calls we can in this hour. And as we do, remember, it is your responsibility to equip yourself so that you can take part in a harvest that makes a difference for time and for eternity. Monica, you're up first listening on Bot Radio in Lincoln, Nebraska. Hi, Monica.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Thank you very, very much for taking my call.
Well, my pleasure.
I was wondering, I actually was reading in your Bible Answer book about forgiveness.
Yeah.
And I just was hoping you could clarify, give me a little more understanding on, I guess my question is, when or who you have to forgive? I thought what I read implied or said that forgiveness isn't required if forgiving someone isn't required if they aren't asking for forgiveness. And then I kind of wondered if that principle applies to God's forgiveness for us. You know, if we don't actually verbalize that, please forgive me, or yeah, that I've sinned, or I mean,
yeah, and that's a good question, Monica. In fact, I think the issue with God is very relevant to answering the question. God objectively offers us forgiveness and the restoration of fellowship, but that forgiveness is not subjectively realized unless we repent. And I don't think we should set a higher standard than the standard that God sets. I mean, that is the highest standard, and that becomes the operative standard for us. So my point is that forgiveness is always a two-way street. It takes someone who is willing to forgive and someone who is wanting to be forgiven, because if you don't have both aspects or both sides to the coin, as it were, then restoration of relationship simply does not take place. So from our perspective as Christians, we always have to be willing to forgive. But on the other side of the coin, you have to have someone who is wanting to be forgiven, because unless there is someone who is wanting to be forgiven, reconciliation doesn't take place. And that is true not only in personal relationships, but certainly it is, to the point of your prologue to the question, it is true in our relationship with God. God objectively offers us forgiveness. That forgiveness is not subjectively realized unless we repent and embrace or receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of our lives. We are coming to a station break. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with more of your questions. The number is always to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. And do remember, as always, this is a ministry supported by the love of people who love the truth. So stand with us prayerfully and financially as we make a difference, not just for time, but a difference for eternity.
Learn to defend your faith with reason and precision. Order On Guard by renowned scholar William Lane Craig. On Guard is a one-stop how to defend your faith manual that will equip you to advance faith conversations deliberately, applying straightforward, cool-headed arguments. You'll discover not just what you believe, but why you believe, and how being on guard with the truth has the power to change lives forever. Order On Guard from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Stay tuned. The Bible Answer Man will be right back. Master the defense of the resurrection in minutes and remember it for a lifetime with the Hankrenem series, Resurrection, Memorable Keys to the Greatest Feat in History. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not merely important to the historic Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity. To make the facts of the resurrection memorable and easily referenced, Hank has developed the Hankrenem Feat and created the second in a series of specifically designed flip charts. Laminated, tabbed, and sized to fit in your pocket, this incredible tool will allow you to defend the truth of the resurrection on a moment's notice. Available for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or when you go online to equip.org.
Investors are concerned that there's more bad news.
Calling for an end to U.S. military operations.
The world is glued to the news headlines, anxiously awaiting what the future holds. So it's up to believers in Christ to be prepared to give well-reasoned answers about what lies ahead, based on sound Bible doctrine.
That's why The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff is such a vital resource for your library. The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff covers today's most asked prophecy questions and reveals why answering them correctly matters so much in today's world. The Apocalypse Code will resolve many questions regarding the mysteries of the end times and help you give an informed answer for the hope that is in you. All you really need to know about understanding Revelation is what the rest of the Bible has to say. So order your copy of The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff, now available in softcover. To order, call 888-7000-CRI or look online at equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition by Hank Hanegraaff is the culmination of over 20 years of faithful study and answering questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With short, succinct answers to over 170 questions that stumbled seekers and galvanized skeptics against the historic Christian faith, the Complete Bible Answer Book will give you confidence in what you believe and why you believe it. Written in Hank's concise, three-point, easy-to-memorize fashion, the Complete Bible Answer Book is an essential tool for the beginner as well as the seasoned apologist. Consider it your one-stop Christian apologetics handbook. When you become a Bible Answer Man support team member, we'll send you the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition as our way of saying thank you. Order for yourself, a friend, or get a personalized copy when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Are you being conformed to the culture, or are you an ambassador for Christ? As Christians, we're called to be in the world while refusing to be of it. Dick Staub's book, The Culturally Savvy Christian, skillfully exposes the shallowness of contemporary pop culture and shows how millions of Christians have been led astray. But Staub goes beyond diagnosis to healing prescription, laying out practical guidelines you can use to safely engage our culture every day. As good ambassadors, we must understand the world we live in and transform it just as Christ and his disciples did. In appreciation for your gift this month, we'd like to send you The Culturally Savvy Christian by Dick Staub. Contact us today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Once again, here's the host of The Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
A couple of things. We'll go right back to the callers. One is the complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, personalized for your gift to the ministry of $100 or more. Receive a personalized copy of the complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or just talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Also, a brand new edition of the Christian Research Journal out today. If you have not yet subscribed, do so right away. You can do so again in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And if you have not yet looked into the Alaska cruise, go to the World Wide Web at equip.org and just click on the ship. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Donna. She's listening on Bot Radio in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Donna.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. Just a little worried.
Okay.
I want to know what I can do to help my daughter that's getting involved with pagan religion, specifically Wiccan.
Yeah.
She's got a new boyfriend that he's Wiccan. She's a Christian. She's become pregnant with his baby. Mm. And it's just really got me worried.
Yeah. Well, and
what can I do to help her?
Sure. Well, just in a general sense, you need to realize that Wicca is experiencing dramatic growth today because teens are rejecting what they perceive as Christian paternalism, homophobia, insensitivity to the environment, and the like. And the old religion, or the craft as it's called, holds that all religion is false unless you recognize that all reality is divine. So they revere the natural world as a living, breathing organism, and they revere people as gods and goddesses. So it's a kind of religious construct that just suits our time and suits our teens. And so it is not at all for me a wonder that your daughter is at least looking at Wicca as being viable. Because in sharp contrast to a Christian worldview, Wiccans worship creation rather than worshiping the Creator. And of course, this worldview stands in direct opposition to a biblical notion of absolute moral truth and exclusive salvation through Jesus Christ, who alone is the way, the truth, and the life. So once you embrace this Wiccan worldview, there is no absolute moral standard, and therefore, you can rationalize all kinds of behavior. You can rationalize sex outside of marriage, having a baby without being married. So it is a worldview that is very, very palatable to teenagers today. But the reality is this, and this is what your daughter needs to know, that God doesn't set parameters around our lives to be a cosmic killjoy, but rather sets these parameters around our lives so that our joy might be complete. You can't unscramble the egg at this point. If you're pregnant, you're pregnant. So now you've got to go on with a very clear testimony of why the Christian worldview is the only worldview that will completely and automatically satisfy your daughter and everyone else who hears it. The Wiccan worldview will simply, in the end, leave her unsatisfied and confused. So there are no simple solutions in this circumstance other than preaching the gospel clearly and compassionately so that the heart is transformed, and not just being part of a church or growing up in a church, but transformed in a genuine way by the power of Christ.
Okay, I think I understand some of this now.
Yeah. Again, the worldview itself, the Wiccan worldview, gives people an opportunity to live life by their own standard, their own subjective standard, because there is no moral lawgiver. Therefore, they can do whatever is right in their own eyes, as opposed to fearing the Lord and living in accordance with His precepts and principles.
So what words would I use to get her to understand what I'm trying to say?
Well, the simple answer to that question is she's embraced a subjective worldview. In other words, truth is in the eye of the beholder. And you have to let her know that, no, there is an objective worldview in which God gives us the owner's manual by which we should live. And when we violate that, we're always going to pay a price. There are consequences to actions. And when you live outside a biblical worldview, the consequences can be dramatic. And she may experience that even as a pregnant woman right now. But if she embraces the Lord Jesus Christ, He will take even the years that the locusts have eaten. He will even take a difficult circumstance and use it for her good and His greater glory. Because the Bible says all things work together for good to those who love God and are those are called according to His purposes. And I think your daughter can experience that, but she has to give up her own way of doing things and say, I'm going to now conform myself to the biblical worldview. And that is as simple and as complex as this: recognizing that she's a sinner, being willing to repent of her sin and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And when she does, God will give not only her but her baby the meaning, purpose, and fulfillment that those lives are designed to have.
Thank you so much. You've made me feel so much better.
Well, Donna, thank you. And if you want to hang on, I can send you some information on Wicca, which kind of distills all of this in such a way that you can communicate from a position of knowledge with your daughter.
Okay, thank you.
And my prayers go along with you. I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to John. He's listening on the web in St. Paul, Minnesota. Hi, John.
Hello, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I'm having a respectful debate on eschatology with a friend of mine, and it's kind of gone somewhere where I didn't expect it to. It's kind of gone to the beginning with whether God has two people or one, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And he's following something that I've had to learn, covenant theology. And the question I had for you, kind of where we're getting stuck on, is Genesis 15:17, the blood covenant, where he states that Christ's death on the cross, the blood he shed there, doesn't erase that covenant. And then also Genesis 17:7, with it stating it's an everlasting covenant to an ethnic people. And, you know, that's basically what we're stuck on. And I was wondering just what your thoughts are on those two.
Yeah. Well, remember that the covenant God made to Abraham was fulfilled. And so there are people who say that that covenant is yet to be fulfilled, but they're simply wrong. And it sounds like in the debate that's one of the sticking points.
Yes.
You can go to the book of Joshua and see that what I'm saying is absolutely true. Joshua, I think it's 21:43, where the Lord gave Israel all the land He had sworn to give their forefathers, and they took possession of the land, they settled there. And Joshua goes so far as to say that not one of the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. And you can see this further with Solomon, whose reign included the time that the temple was constructed. And Solomon says, not one word has failed. All of the good promises the Lord gave through his servant Moses were fulfilled. In fact, at the height of Solomon's kingdom, the people of Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand on the seashore, according to the Bible. They ate, they drank, they were happy, and Solomon ruled over all of the kingdoms from the river Euphrates to the land of the Philistines as far as the border of Egypt. And then I'd say one other thing in this regard. Even in the aftermath of the exile, Nehemiah extolled the faithfulness of God in fulfilling the land promises he had made to the patriarchs. So my first point in response to your question is to say that all of the promises God made were fulfilled. But there's more. The land promises are fulfilled in the far future through Jesus Christ, who provides true Israel with permanent rest from their wanderings in sin. And then, in the final, the land promises are fully fulfilled through Jesus Christ, who leads the spiritual descendants of Abraham into paradise restored. So in the far future, the land promises were fulfilled when the children of Israel enter the promised land. In the far future, typologically fulfilled in the Lord, who is the locus of the land, and in the final future, the promise of the land will be fully and finally consummated when paradise lost is reconstituted as paradise restored. But when you got into the prologue to this question, it was interesting to hear how so many people start with the wrong premise. And I think that's at the heart of the issue. They start with the premise that God has two people, but that's simply wrong. God has only always had one covenant people, one chosen people, one covenant community. And that covenant community is connected by a cross. So in the Old Testament, Rahab, though she is a Canaanite, and Ruth, though she is a Moabite, is a covenant child. In fact, in their case, in the lineage of Jesus Christ itself. So it is not as though God has two distinct people. God has always had one distinct people. And that people is not determined on the basis of an ethnicity. That is simply a fault. God is not a racist. People who left Egypt after their slavery were not just Israelites. Egyptians left as well with Israel because they had embraced God of Israel as their God, and they knew that he was the true God. Therefore, they were not excluded as true Israel. They were part of true Israel, and that's exactly why Esther, chapter 8, I believe, can say that there are many people from many different nations that became Jews. Why? Because they embraced Yahweh, the God of Israel, and they were brought into all the civil and ceremonial laws looking forward to Jesus Christ. So you're right to consider that at the heart of this issue is the question, does God have two distinct people or does God only have one distinct people? And the answer, of course, is he only has one from every tongue, tribe, language, people, and nation. We'll be right back with more of your questions, so please don't touch that dial.
You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to equip you to think Christianly. Not only do we provide books, videos, and well-researched articles, but you can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived shows, get answers to pressing Bible questions, and follow our blog or connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. You can also sign up for our weekly e-newsletter and receive special benefits. All of this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. Don't change the station. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will be right back.
Who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
The debate between human freedom and determinism has been raging for centuries. Gain a biblical perspective on human nature in John S. Hammett's article entitled Between Radical Freedom and Total Determinism. The information age has many benefits, but it also has a dark side, information overload. Learn how to navigate through cyberspace with James Patrick Holding's article, The Mesmerizing Misinformation Maelstrom. Other topics include problems with the gold plates of the Book of Mormon, the legacy of G.K. Chesterton and Dorothy Sayers, Jesus, the begotten Son of the Father, and much more, as well as the insightful Ask Hank column.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
Do you worry that someone will ask you a question about your faith that you can't answer? Have you tried to defend your faith but gotten lost in confusing language and theology? Do you struggle with times of spiritual doubt yourself? On Guard by William Lane Craig is a one-stop how to defend your faith manual that will equip you to advance faith conversations deliberately, applying straightforward, cool-headed arguments. You'll discover not just what you believe, but why you believe, and how being on guard with the truth has the power to change lives forever. Learn to defend your faith with reason and precision. Order On Guard from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. As followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must learn to think Christianly. To do so, we need to steep ourselves in God's Word so that everywhere we look, we discern the lies of our culture against a backdrop of truth. Then we can use what we know to speak to the lost in a language they will understand. The Culturally Savvy Christian by Dick Staub is a book that skillfully exposes the shallowness of contemporary pop culture and shows how millions of Christians have been led astray. But Staub goes beyond diagnosis to healing prescription, laying out practical guidelines you can use to safely engage our culture every day. As good ambassadors, we must understand the world we live in and transform it just as Christ and his disciples did. To order The Culturally Savvy Christian for your gift to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The study of human nature is one of perennial interest, raising many questions that are important to a Christian worldview. The contemporary movement of transhumanism views human nature as totally free, even to the altering of its very essence. Sociobiologists, on the other hand, hold that human behavior is determined and free will is an illusion. To a society torn between two extremes, the Bible offers a sensible corrective that affirms real freedom within real limits. Subscribe to the Christian Research Journal and learn more in John S. Hammett's article entitled Between Radical Freedom and Total Determinism, A Christian View of Human Nature. Start your subscription to the journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast now with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And many people are joining the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. We need you to be one of those. If you can join, please do so today. It is so important to establish a solid foundation for this ministry in the year 2011 as we continue reaching around the world. And when I say reaching around the world, I can literally tell you that we are. We are making a difference around the world. One of our journals impacted China in such a dramatic way that even the communist Chinese have taken note of it and are using it as the basis by which they determine whether to jail a person or not to jail a person in various provinces. I could give you more detail, but it would be inappropriate, but I can tell you with total authenticity and integrity that what we're doing right now is affecting people in a dramatic and substantial way. And those that stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially have the thanks of the Chinese people who are no longer suffering as a direct result of some of the persecution that has taken place and continues to take place there. So your contributions to this ministry, touching lives in time, in a very real sense, and of course, as well, for all eternity. I'll probably say more about that in future editions of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. It's fresh on my mind because I just returned from China. But I urge you to stand with this ministry as it reaches around the globe and makes a difference. You can join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team by simply logging on to the World Wide Web at equip.org and joining online. You can join via the mail, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or, of course, when you talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 CRI, for your gift of $100 or more, I'll send you the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, personalized. Also, when you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, I'll send you the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, personalized for yourself, a family member, or for a friend. So check it out today. Make a difference. Join a team. We're touching people's lives by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the grace of God. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Tammy, listening in Vancouver, British Columbia, on KARI. Hi, Tammy.
Hi, Hanks. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for taking my phone call.
My pleasure.
This is the second time I'm calling. Last time I called you regarding my marriage, and I was told you I was Muslim, and I just converted to the Christian.
Yes.
And we got married. My husband is a Christian, and we got married at the mosque.
Yes.
And now he walked away from our marriage, and I was told by his friend, and he said, this marriage is over because it's the mosque, and we don't have any documents. And I don't know what is the best way I can handle this. Do I need to divorce? How do I divorce? I am praying to the God to bring us back, but he doesn't want to do anything with me anymore.
What has happened to your husband? Has he completely left the area?
Yeah,
that
he completely left. He's gone.
Is he in a different state or different country?
No, he's here. He's in Vancouver, but he doesn't want to do anything with me.
Okay, so you are separated at this point.
Yes, we totally separated.
Yes. Well, Tammy, I think that what you need to do, and I'll certainly join you in this, is pray that his heart will be changed. Pray for reconciliation. But if he irrevocably breaks the bond and breaks the marriage by marrying someone else, or being involved in activities that sever the marriage bond, then you are no longer bound in that circumstance. But I think as long as the door to reconciliation remains open, although it seems impossible, I'm sure, from your perspective, you need to pray to the end that God will bring people and circumstances to bear on the situation such that reconciliation can take place. Are you in a good church?
I am in a good church, and I'm attending to the prayer meeting. They are praying for me.
Oh, good.
But I was told by somebody that he's looking for somebody else, and I have no idea. I don't know. I trust him. He's really a good man. He's really having a good heart. He's helping me. He's around me. But I know this is Satan. That's not my husband, because he's a really good person, but I was told that he's trying to find somebody else.
Right. And Tammy, you know, the difficult thing is you can't make anyone, love can never be coerced. And you can't make someone come back. But God can. God can change the heart. And I know this is a really difficult situation, and that's why I asked you whether you're in a church, because you need sisters and brothers right now that can pray for you, hold you up, encourage you, and build you up in the faith. And God can be your source. This is a very difficult situation, and it's emblematic of a broken, fallen world. And what your husband is doing in leaving you is wrong. But there are so many wrongs that are difficult to right in this world, but you can know they will be righted at some point. Right now, you can't do anything but pray and leave the door to reconciliation open. But no matter what happens in this circumstance, remember that there's one Father who will never leave you. Your Heavenly Father will never forsake you. He knows your pain. He knows your need. He knows the rejection you have to be feeling. And He will be faithful to you. And there will be Christians that will be His arms and His hands and His feet and the balm of Gilead in your life. He will salve your wounds. During your darkest moments, He will carry you. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but He is never going to forsake you. And even in your brokenness, you will be more reconciled to Him, Tammy. Your love and your relationship with your Heavenly Father will grow and be enhanced. And it's in the broken cauldron of adversity of life that we come to true valuation of things. And we can't really answer the question why you're going through this. I mean, the Bible doesn't answer that question, never answers the why question, but it does teach us to trust God in the midst of our whys. So He's given us enough information, Tammy, so we know we can trust Him. And I can't tell you what the future holds for you, but I do know who holds the future. So I know that God is going to be faithful to you, Tammy, and you can rest in His grace and His love.
Thanks, Hank.
Let me pray for you. Father,
thank you.
I lift up my dear sister, Tammy, before your throne of grace.
Bye.
I pray, Lord, that you would give her the peace that passes all understanding. Lord, if it be your will, reconcile her to her husband. Overcome the rejection. Salve her wounds. Give her peace. Touch her heart. Let her know that you love her, that you have redeemed her, and that you have a point and purpose to her life. Father, thank you for the opportunity to talk to Tammy and to be, in some small way, an instrument of peace in her life today. I pray, Lord, that others who are listening to this conversation will pray for Tammy also. And Lord, bring people and circumstances to bear on her life and the life of her husband so that your glory may be made manifest. We pray this not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you, dear.
Okay, thanks. God bless you.
Yeah, anything else we can do, let us know.
I will. Thank you. You're really helpful. Everything, you know, I learn many stuff from you. I'm so new, but I learn many stuff from you. I really appreciate this.
Bless you, Tammy, and hang on. If there's anything we can do for you in a practical way, let us know.
Okay, thank you.
Bye. You know, this is the brokenness of the world. I mean, you can't try to paper it over. Christianity does not give us a peaceful way to come to terms with the difficulties of life. It gives us something far greater, a way to overcome them through the reality of Christ's resurrection. In this life, we're going to have trouble. And that's the one thing we have to understand as Christians. We're not coming to Christ so that we can have a bed of roses. When we come to Christ, we take up our cross and we learn to live the crucified life. Over the last few days, I spent time in particular with two men, one who has been imprisoned. He's now 95, but is imprisoned for 24 years of his life. Another for 17 years, and at one point was under a death sentence. And yet, they have recognized the reality of living the crucified life. And therefore, they have been enabled, empowered by God, to live a victorious Christian life in the cauldron of persecution and difficulty and even despair, knowing what awaits them. A new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness, a time in which all of the wrongs will be righted. In the meantime, we suffer, but we do not suffer alone. For in the deepest, darkest time of adversity, and we're all facing that in one way or another, our Heavenly Father carries us like little lambs. It's not as though He walks beside us, but He actually carries us in His arms. And He's utterly trustworthy, for He is the one who is willing to suffer more than any human being, more than the cumulative sufferings of all of humanity, so that we could reconcile to Him, not just in time, but also be reconciled to Him in eternity. Well, this has been a challenging show today. Hopefully it's challenged you to be one that makes a difference for time and for eternity. We'll see you tomorrow right back here. Same time, same station.
On today's show, we've mentioned several resources that would be a great help to you or someone you know. So contact the Christian Research Institute and let us help equip you with just the right resource so you can defend the faith. Either call us at 888-7000-CRI, again that's 888-7000-CRI, or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. You're also welcome to visit our website at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is furnished by the Christian Research Institute. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition by Hank Hanegraaff is the culmination of over 20 years of faithful study and answering questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With short, succinct answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith, the Complete Bible Answer Book will give you confidence in what you believe and why you believe it. Written in Hank's concise, three-point, easy-to-memorize fashion, the Complete Bible Answer Book is an essential tool for the beginner as well as the seasoned apologist. Consider it your one-stop Christian apologetics handbook. When you become a Bible Answer Man support team member, we'll send you the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition as our way of saying thank you. Order for yourself, a friend, or get a personalized copy when you call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org.
As followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must learn to think Christianly. To do so, we need to steep ourselves in God's Word so that everywhere we look, we discern the lies of our culture against a backdrop of truth. Then we can use what we know to speak to the lost in a language they will understand. The Culturally Savvy Christian by Dick Staub is a book that skillfully exposes the shallowness of contemporary pop culture and shows how millions of Christians have been led astray. But Staub goes beyond diagnosis to healing prescription, laying out practical guidelines you can use to safely engage our culture every day. As good ambassadors, we must understand the world we live in and transform it just as Christ and His disciples did. To order the Culturally Savvy Christian for your gift to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.